Tonight is a special night for the Christians. It is a night that we are to think of Calvary. We are to remember that our Lord Jesus came and died for our sins. He was condemned to death and crucified on the cross of Calvary. He knew it was his time to die. It was not only the right time, but also the right place and the right method to die in order to provide salvation for the sins according to the scripture. In the passage that we have read just now in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Jesus, at a time of suffering, he could have called angels from heaven to his defense, but he submitted silently to his persecutors. He did not make his death easy. He suffered the greatest and the most horrible and painful kind of death on the cross. He knew that it was the only way to pay the penalty of our sin according to God's plan of salvation. So we see Calvary is the most sacred place on earth. It is a place where the Son of God died and completed his work of salvation. It was the place where we are able to receive the forgiveness of sin, eternal life, and all the spiritual blessings from God. This is our blessed hope for the future. Tonight, let us look at the amazing situation at Calvary. At Calvary, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. On either side of him were two thieves. They placed him between the two thieves. They could have placed the two thieves together. In fact, that would have been the most natural things to do. Most probably, they were partners in crime. Certainly, it would have been a natural thing for the soldiers who took them together. Instead, they put the Lord Jesus Christ between them. This was really an amazing situation. To begin with, it was the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah 53 verse 12 that says, "He was numbered with the transgressors." And in Mark chapter 15, verse 27 and 28 says, "And with him they crucified two thieves, one on his right hand and the other on his left." And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." So, my friend, we see at Calvary, not only was the hand of man at work, but also the hand of God at work. This was fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy in Isaiah. The Lord Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. We know that he was born for the transgressors mentioned in Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. He lived for the transgressors, Matthew 20:28. And now we see that he died with them and for them. So that amazing situation begins with the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah 53 verse 12. Secondly, we know that at Calvary, we see the amazing plan of salvation. At Calvary, we see God's plan of salvation. Salvation begins in the hearts of God. From eternal past, God had planned the salvation for sinners. Before the world was created, it was God's plan for the two thieves to meet Jesus on the cross. It was not by accident at all. God had planned it that way, and they were to kneel by the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the working of the gracious providence of God that both thieves could hear the prayer of the Lord Jesus. Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23, verse 34. Here is Jesus who prays that others might be forgiven. And the Holy Spirit could take that prayer to speak to the hearts of the people. Furthermore, those two thieves on either side of the Lord Jesus could see the superscription or the title that was on the cross. The title reads, in the four Gospels, we join them together, it's read in such a way. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. It was written in three languages, in Hebrews, in Greek, and in Latin. That title was written by Pilate. The people who were there knew at least one of those languages. Perhaps it was the first gospel tract ever written, and it was hung over the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the thieves looked at each other, they had to see Jesus, they had to see that title, and that title told them who Jesus is. Jesus means Savior. And he is Jesus of Nazareth. What is Nazareth? We know that he came from a despised and rejected place, and that is Nazareth. And he identified with the outcast. Then the title says he's a king, King of the Jews. In other words, he had a kingdom. And so, in reading the title, they could get the gospel message. That is, Jesus is the Savior of the lost sinners. He is the King of the Jews. He had a kingdom. A very simple gospel message. Also, both thieves could hear the soldiers mock him. What did they say? If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. Luke 23, verse 36 and 37. And the people and the religious leader mocked him. Listen to what they say. They say here in verse 35, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. That was a gospel message. Because the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, says that Christ came into this world for what? To save sinners. How did he do it? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6 says, Christ Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. That is, he saved others, and therefore, he cannot save himself. He gave his life for the sinners. And the Bible in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 tells us very clearly the purpose of the death of Christ. And here he says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities and the chastisement of our peace with God was upon him. If Christ did not die, we can never have peace with God. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, with his suffering, what happened? We are healed. So you see, this is the gospel message of the purpose why Christ came to this world. Jesus was fulfilling this prophecy of Isaiah to provide salvation for you and for me. My friend, God is in control of the situation at Calvary. Pilate put up that title on the cross to quiet his own conscience. But that title was used by God to win a soul. The soldiers and the people mocked Jesus, but God used their mockery to win a soul. How amazing is the working of God at Calvary to save a lost soul. Each of the thieves had access to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified between them. Because they were crucified together, they could talk to each other. And as they did, they had to look at Jesus. And as they looked at Jesus, they saw something different about him and had access to talk to him. My friend, God still works in his providence to set up situation for people to be saved. No one is ever saved by accident. This is the way God works to provide salvation and opportunity to hear the gospel, to believe Jesus and to be saved. You know, God's greater desire is that all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. One of the greatest tragedies today is the tragedies of people missing their opportunities to believe and to accept Christ as their Savior. My friends, do not miss the chance that God has given you. Secondly, we see not only the amazing situation, we see the amazing prayer. The prayer that one of the thieves prayed is really amazing. Let us look at the way he prayed. The thief's confession especially. The thief was not an agnostic. He was not an atheist. He was not irreligious. In verse 40, tells us that he feared God. He feared God. And he admitted his guilt. In verse 41, he says, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." That is, he admitted that he deserved the punishment. Thirdly, he admitted that Jesus was innocent. In verse 41, he says, "This man had done nothing amiss." Fourthly, he believed there was a life after death. And therefore, he prayed to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." My friend, that was an amazing confession. Fashion of prayer from this thief on the cross. Do you believe that there is life after death? Are you prepared for it? My friends, if you were to die now, where would you go? Do you believe there's a God and that you are going to answer the way you live your life on earth? Do you believe in that? Let me read to you from the scripture. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment." These are important questions you and I have to answer. I'm amazed at the courage of this thief prayer to Jesus. No one was seeking Jesus for salvation at that time when the Lord was crucified. The people were mocking Jesus, and yet these thieves had the courage to confess and to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. The crowd was opposing him, laughing at him, and even his partner in crime was mocking the Lord Jesus. And yet, this thief dared to defile all of them when he prayed that prayer for salvation. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Just think about it, my friends, for a moment. How little he really understood about Jesus. Let me list the facts to you again about what he believes, what he knows. The word Jesus means salvation, and he came from Nazareth, because the title says so. And he was innocent, that's what he believed, and he believed that he saved others, therefore he could not save himself. Very short, not little knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet he was saved. I hear people say, "Well, I like to be saved, but I want to understand more about it." It is true that a person wants to know more. Sometimes it may be just an excuse or procrastinating. My friend, this thief did not understand very much. But what he did understand led him to accept Christ as his Savior. He saw Jesus was despised, right? He saw Jesus was rejected of men. He saw Jesus was abused. He saw Jesus was weak and dying. He saw all these things in front of his eyes. The question is this: would you trust someone in that condition to be your Savior? One who is weak to be your Savior. From the human eyes, he saw Jesus was forsaken, mocked, laughed at, and he could not do anything to change his pitiful condition. And yet this thief dared to trust Jesus and address him as Lord, to be his Savior. I dare to say that this man's salvation speaks to our heart tonight. The amazing situation, the amazing prayer he uttered. Thirdly, at Calvary, we also see the amazing salvation. So there are many things happen at Calvary, you know. Amazing salvation. The purpose of the coming of Christ, we know, is to save sinners. We know this very well. I do not want to elaborate on that. The Bible says, this thief was a sinner. This thief admitted himself that he was a sinner. He knew that he was a condemned man. He knew that he deserved punishment. And because of this knowledge, he turned to Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And what did the Lord say to him? The Lord says this, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That is, he would be with Jesus in paradise that day when he died. Here we see some of the characteristics of the amazing salvation. What do you see in these words of the Lord Jesus? There are a few things that we can see here. First of all, we see that salvation is holy by the grace of God. From eternal past, God had planned salvation for lost sinners. It was God's plan for the thieves to meet Jesus at Calvary and to be saved. This was not by accident or by chance. God had planned it that way to offer salvation to him. He had decreed it to happen. Pilate gave the order to crucify Jesus and to put him between the two thieves. Of course, he did not know that it was God's plan. 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah had said that the Messiah would be numbered among the transgressors. Isaiah 53 verse 12. So it was not by accident. God already planned, predicted in Isaiah. It was foreordained that it would happen that way. Salvation is by grace through faith. If you are safe, if you go to heaven, it is because of the grace of God. It is not because of anything in you or any merit that you have done to gain salvation heaven. Not at all. Look at the thieves. Look at the thieves. This thief had no moral life at all. Before his conversion, he did what was evil in the sight of God and in the sight of man. After his conversion, he died without having any opportunity to serve in the church, in the ministry of the Lord. Something that we are saved by moral life. Other thing by good works they have done. But this thief had none of these at all. None at all. So we know that his salvation was wholly by the grace of God. Some say, we are saved by religious ceremony. But this thief was never baptized. Never baptized. This thief was never partook of the Lord's Supper. Never joined the church. Never did any good deeds. And yet Jesus said to him, what did Jesus say to him? You remember? What did he say? Do you remember? All right, if you remember, say it together with me. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's what Jesus said to him. This thief was saved instantly. As a Christian, I'm not afraid to die. And when a Christian dies, his body disintegrates in the grave. But his soul or spirit immediately goes to be with the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ said today. He did not say tomorrow, but he said today. Immediately when he died, he will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. And the Bible tells us very clearly, not only Jesus said that, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says, absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. If you know Greek, this is very interesting. It tells you that the moment you die, the next moment you are with the Lord. Instantly. You won't be roaming around for 7 days. That's what the Chinese believe. That'll be frightening, right? No. Immediately you go there. You won't be afraid. You should not be afraid that you do not know the way. God will take care of the rest. You will be there immediately. So, my friend, this is really amazing about our salvation. Salvation is a personal matter. Jesus spoke to the thief personally. Verily, I say unto thee, personally. In other words, you believe in Jesus, you will be saved. Your father believe in Jesus, your father will be saved, not you. See, you must confess yourself. And Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 affirms it. If thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And so forth. So we see salvation is a personal matter. In conclusion, the thieves had a chance to be saved in the last hour of his life. This was the only chance to be saved, and he took that opportunity. You have a chance to be saved now. You ought to make good for your opportunity. In your last hour, you may not have this chance. Think of many people who died instantly without a chance to cry to the Lord. Now is the time, not tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. As a Christian, what is the message for us today? We have seen the amazing salvation that God is working in the lives of people. How each one of them came to know the Lord. How the Lord Jesus Christ died. We have seen all these things. We know all the story about things that happened in Calvary. As a Christian, we are to communicate what we know to the lost world and to support the work of mission. If you cannot go, support those who can go to help in the propagation of the gospel. The Lord has entrusted this task to us. Therefore, Good Friday is not just to think about the suffering of Christ and the accomplishment of the salvation. More importantly, thinking of the commission that God has given to us. What we have mentioned, Christ had completed his work. How about us? Have you completed your work? Can you say you have finished your race? I cannot say that. I'm still running. Still running. And you are still running. As a Christian, as far as you have breath, you are still running the race. And God wants you to do something for him while you are able. The thieves have no chance, but God give you the privilege to serve him. Let us treasure what God has given to us and do it for his glory. May God help each one of us. In closing, let us sing the closing hymn at Calvary. I think it's 3:5. At Calvary, let us arise and sing this hymn.
Bearing up my love was crucified.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the amazing things that we have seen at Calvary. How the hand of God at work in the lives of people to accomplish the work of salvation for us mankind. O Lord, tonight we indeed are thankful to thee for all that you have done, the price you have paid, the blood you have shed, and the blessing you have given to each one of us, though we don't deserve it, O Lord, you have given us freely. Help each one of us, O Lord, to appreciate all that you have done for us. Help us to pay our debt by doing thy will, by obeying thee, by carrying out the great commission to those who have not known. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the leading of the Holy Spirit direct each one of us to live a life that be glorifying God and to do His will till He returns. Amen.